great if we could just use it with any device with a browser, a laptop, or flipped around backwards, or even one of those nice big screen browser, touch screens. They have those too. If you were to deliver a virtual console, what would that look like? And at TELUS Alliance, we thought about this a lot, and we thought, well, there's a new technology on the upper right here. It's called a software container, or a Docker compliant software container. And the other way would be in an appliance, maybe with this same software already installed on it for people who don't want to have to figure out how to deal with software containers. But either way, it could be controlled by a web browser. So that's what we did over at TELUS. We designed an appliance. We call this the AE1000, the Application Engine 1000. And it's a small computer. It's ARM-based. And we sell this preloaded with this console software in it. We'll demonstrate this tonight during the nuts and bolts. But another way we could do this is through a virtual machine or software running on your hardware or hardware that's in a data center. And we looked at providing this as a virtual machine, maybe as a whole image. Maybe you've, at some point in your life, installed Rivendell. And for some years, you could download a whole image of Rivendell and install that. It came with the operating system and everything. And that worked fine, but whole virtual machines are, in the IT industry, becoming a little bit passé, actually, because there's a lot of extra fluff in there that you don't need. Or if you've got a whole bunch of virtual machines running on a host, you've got a lot of duplication of stuff you're never going to use in these virtual machines. So about 10 years ago, a company called Docker started coming out with this idea called software containers. And a software container runs like this. There's the hardware at the bottom there, the Dell picture. Then you have a host operating system. And then on top of that, you have what's called a Docker runtime, or a container runtime. And then on top of that, you have your containers. Now, the containers are pretty small. And the Docker runtime translates between the containers and what they need and their I/O and what they need from the operating system. And so the Docker container shuffles that back and forth. And so it's small, it's efficient. You can fit a whole bunch of them onto a PC, a multi-core PC, and it works pretty well. The only problem is not a whole lot of people outside the IT industry know about Docker containers. And so, hey, 15 years ago, we didn't know much about audio over IP either, but we've learned. And over 15 years, I've had the pleasure to teach a lot of engineers, or at least get them going on audio over IP. And I think we're at the point now where Docker containers are going to be very, very prevalent. So this kind of mixer in a broadcast application can be used without a physical surface, using an HTML5 browser. You can have a temporary studio anywhere. You can have a distributed remote workforce. Home studios don't need a purpose-built mixer. They can actually remote control the mixer at the radio station or in the cloud. And it works great for small studios, desks, even mobile. And you can have multiple simultaneous users of the same mixer, and they can be in different places. This is a friend of mine. This is Big V. He does an afternoon shift on one of my stations in Mississippi. And he's showing off here the virtual mixer. This one's actually not a touchscreen. He's just pointing to it. But it's mouse-controlled in this case, and they can have extra mixing going on. This is our station manager in Cleveland, Mississippi, and it's also not a touchscreen, but he's pointing to it because I asked him to. But you can replace an existing console, the hardware surface, with this. You can run it anywhere. Hey, if the screen dies, you can buy a new screen for $129, and you're back in business. If the whole computer dies, you can actually run this on anything that just supports a browser. There's very little going on compute-wise here, this will run on your phone, actually. And here's another example. This guy is showing off, again, it's not really a touchscreen, just for the picture here, but at your desk. You could do mixing at your desk because the mixing's not actually going on right here. So let's look at the technology behind this. We all know, or we should know, a little bit about networked audio. So we have an Ethernet switch. That's kind of the center of everything. You can have redundant switches if you like. To that, we connect input-output devices. In this case, I'm showing some X nodes here that convert baseband audio into audio over IP and back again. So it could be mic level, line level analog, or AES EBU audio. And to this, we add some more items to build a studio. Like, here's a PC that doesn't need any interfacing other than an extra network interface card and a driver, an audio driver running inside of it. We have some mic processing going on here in that black box. So mics are sent to that black box, the Voco 8, and then back to the network again. We have a Surface. This is actually, there's no audio in the Surface. That's been the model for Axia and for other manufacturers as well. No audio in the Surface itself, but the Surface runs a mixing engine running elsewhere on the network. So you're probably familiar, if you've built any AOIP studios, you're familiar with this setup. Then we had a few years ago, we thought about maybe changing this because we could. The technology became available to put the mixer in with the Surface if you want a really small footprint. So this particular mixer here is called an IQX. The mixer's built in, and so it's all done right there on the IQX. The Surface is there, the controls, and the actual mixing. But when we developed that mixer, we had to develop it for an ARM processor, and so that's going to be coming back to us in a minute. If you need some extra I.O., you can just add a node to the extra port on that on the bottom of that, and you have some extra I.O. for that room. Well, what if we could then replace the Surface with some software? And so this has actually been going on for some years. A few years ago, this software became available called Soft Surface. It lets you control a mixer elsewhere on the network. There's some third-party software. This is called IP Tablet. It's from a company in France that you can have very customizable interfaces for your disc jockeys. It runs in on a Windows tablet. And then there's some software that we make at Telos called Pathfinder, and with it you can build your own little panels to control things. Okay, so you can see that for some years we've been able to control a mixer with some software. Now, I just added that, you see that little mixer I just added there. So that's the IQS mixer running on the AE1000. And look, we can just add a tablet elsewhere on the network and control that mixer with that tablet, just the browser. Okay, so what if we instead we had a bunch of these little AE1000s? Well, we could control those, and we can control it with things that are connected directly to the network, but we could also connect it with Wi-Fi or phone carrier connected devices, because again, there's no audio running back and forth to these devices. There's just the control signals and the metering that goes on. So it's a reasonable data rate going on there. All right. Now, what if we replace that appliance instead with the containerized software? So there you can do that. The same picture we had before with the hardware, the host operating system, which is going to be a Linux operating system, and then the Docker runtime engine and the containers on top of that. How many containers can you run? Well, you can easily run one IQS mixer per CPU core. I'm told that if your mixers aren't really big, you can run two mixers per CPU core. So a modern, and I realize I'm not showing quite a modern server there, but that's one that we've got behind the curtain we'll show tonight. So again, connect with, control it with any modern browser, and that's what it can look like. You can fit as many faders on there as your screen is big and the proportions are right. We're talking to announcers who say that this is just fine. This they don't need a physical surface. They're comfortable with this. All right. So again, for deployment options, hardware or software. And I'm going to show you the hardware right here. This is a short video that I'm going to show you how this hooks up and how it works. In a few minutes, we're going to show you, not going to go step by step, but we're going to show you how the software installs with one of our developers at Telos.
Hi, it's Kirk Harnack to tell you about how you can get the IQS Virtual Audio Console pre-installed on this hardware. This hardware is the Telos Alliance AE1000. AE stands for Application Engine 1000. When you order the AE1000 with the IQS software pre-installed, what you get is this diminutive box. Of course, 19 inches rack width, only one rack unit tall, and look, it's only 4 inches from front to back. By the time you add power and Ethernet connectors, it's still under 6 inches from front to back. There's no fan in it, it doesn't even run very warm, but it's amazingly powerful. You can put up to a 24-fader IQS virtual audio console in here. That's right. Plus, it has extra buses on it, all the buses you'd need, program 1, 2, 3, and 4. It has a recording bus. It has a telco bus. It has an offline bus. And it also does audio processing. It will process your microphones, of course, for downward expansion, compression, and de-essing. Plus, it has stereo EQ available, 3-band parametric EQ, for each of the inputs if you want that. There's also a monitor section and a headphone section and a preview monitor as well, plus a studio monitor section. All the things that normally come with an IQ console are available in this IQS software virtual console on the AE1000 platform. Let's hook it up. So once we have the AE1000 with the IQS software installed, we can hook it up to power and Ethernet. I've got this Ethernet cable here already connected to my Axia network here in the office, and I'll take the power coming from the 12-volt power supply. Now, this is a locking connection here, so it screws on, won't come off at all. And now the power indicator comes on. Once it's up and running, you can browse into the unit using the default factory IP address, which is 192.168.2.29. Just set your computer to the same LAN address and browse right into it. From that point, you can set the IP address to what will be compatible with your own internal Axia LiveWire or AES67 network. Now that you've set the IP address, just browse to that address. In my system, it's 10.216.0.29. And you're challenged with a login. The default is user with no password. Now, the next thing we'll want to do is set up some sources and some shows. So we can go to sources, and I've already set up a number of sources that exist on my network here at my office, including a host mic, a computer that can play audio for me, the output of my Omni 11, and some audio receivers that exist in my rack room, plus my Zip 1 and some audio from my ZipStream hardware. We'll also want to set up a show to bring up. And so I've brought up one called IQS Demo. And in this one, I've assigned the host mic to come into all four program buses. I've also brought in some tuners, my Tivoli FM tuner, a couple other receivers that I have, Zip 1, even the Omni 11 comes up. And I don't have any sources on any of the rest of the faders. I guess I didn't need all those faders, did I? The IQS can also be used with Telos phone systems, and you would set that up here. There's also a monitor section, so you can decide what you're going to monitor by default when you load the profile. And you can also send the preview into the rest of the monitor feed, if you like. You can also set up which external inputs will come up when you bring this profile up. All the usual selections that exist for an Axia IQ console also exist in the Axia IQS console. Now we've selected that. The IQS demo profile is active. So let's go ahead and look at the outputs now. I've turned on some outputs, program 1, 2, 3, and 4, on my network. You can choose a multicast or SIP unicast. SIP unicast is useful if you are in a server environment, in a public cloud space especially, where multicast isn't allowed. You can also give it a channel IP address, a channel address for LiveWire, or an IP address for AES67. And you can choose what type of payload it is, standard stereo or AES67. Okay, we've seen enough setup. Let's go see what it looks like when we bring the Surface up. So I'll click on Surface, and it's connecting, synchronizing the state of the console, and oh my goodness, there we are. Let's look at the IQS Virtual Audio Console in operation here. I've got a Microsoft Surface computer that's being used to access this IQS software running on the AE1000. And it's got a touchscreen. I also have a large monitor here so you can see it more easily. Of course, a large touchscreen monitor would work just as well, too. I'm going to bring the monitor volume up. And you can hear the monitor come right up. I got four different radio stations running here on these four different faders in the four different program buses. And you can see I can switch, watch it, I can switch to different program buses and hear these different radio stations.
1, 2, 8.
I can bring this one up and down, for example, all the way down, all the way up. I'm just touching the touchscreen. I can also double tap to bring it right up to 0 dB, if that's a quicker way to do it. Again, you can grab anywhere on the orange bar here to turn this up and down. There's an example. You can turn it off, of course, to turn it back on. You could also use the mouse to do the same thing. I'll show you over here. Turn it off and turn it back on. We could also put something in preview. There, that we've put that in preview. I've got preview mixed in with the monitor. We can turn the preview level up and down separately, just like that. Take it out of preview here. And we can also mute the microphone, mute the speakers by turning the microphone on like that. And in fact, we'll turn off all of this. And if I just talk, I have the microphone, this microphone right here, through here on the Axia network, and you can see my voice coming through the monitors as well. So lots of options here, and it works just like your regular console does, like any IQ console does. The IQS Virtual Audio Console running right here on the AE1000.
All right, so as I described earlier, we had a choice of deploying this in software as a virtual machine or as a Docker. And all the research we've done indicates that the IT world is really moving toward a containerized software environment, Docker being the most popular standard there. And Docker tends to do a lot of microservices. So if you were to make a purchase on Amazon right now, you're going through containerized software to get that done. If you pay somebody with PayPal, you're going through definitely containerized software to get that done. These little containers doing little microservices. And I guess you could consider, by the amount of work that actually has to get done, an audio console is kind of a microservice. It actually feels that way in the compute world. A couple ways to get this done. You can install it on an operating system that's running on the hardware directly, like on the left-hand side, or on the right-hand side here. You can also be running something like VMware or another hypervisor and running several operating systems on top of that, whether it's Ubuntu, Linux, or Windows, or other things. You can run those at the same time if you need to run several things at the same time. But both of those work. That's on the right there. We call that a type 1 hypervisor. What doesn't work for real-time audio is a type 2 hypervisor. That's where, like, you're running Windows, and then you run the Docker engine on top of Windows, and then you run a container on top of that. No, that's no good. There's too much going on there. And that's okay for development, but not for production. Next, this is my colleague, Milos Nemchik. Milos is going to walk us through he's practiced, okay, and his environment is all set up. He's got Ubuntu clean installed, ready to go. He already has an account with the repository where our software is held. And you can download our software and run it yourself without our permission. If you just follow the directions that are online on our website, it won't be a complete audio console because you only get 4 faders and it makes noises every 30 seconds that you don't want to put on the air. Other than that, you can get a free audio console. So let me let Milos walk you through this here.
Manager for IQS, our product manager. Hi, Milos. Welcome in.
Thanks for having me, Kirk.
So one of the ways that you can have IQS, the audio console that is remotely accessible with a browser, is by running it as not quite a virtual machine. It's running as a software container on what kind of platform?
On a Linux machine.
Okay, Linux machine. So if you would, just take us through this. We're going to show a screen here, and you can tell us how this process is working. Here we go.
Right, so I'm at a prompt for logging in into the Linux machine, and mm-hmm. I type in my username, my password, and now I've got access to it, and I'm going to zip on over to our online documentation, and mm-hmm. I'm clicking on the Docker container documentation, and because I've already pre-read that, I know exactly where I need to go, but it's suggested to read all this material. What I'm scanning for is the Docker setup, and midway through the page is a string of text that I want to copy, and I'm copying it there.
That is a script, a single-line script, right?
Single-line script, so I've pasted it into my prompt, and I hit enter, and now it's asking for my super user password,
okay.
And then it proceeds, and it's checking various elements in the Linux machine to see that they're there, and if they're not, it installs them. And this just takes a few seconds.
Yeah, folks who've installed programs with Linux before, they'll recognize this process, right?
I think so. It's very familiar, yes.
Yeah.
And so it's checking for example, like the Docker engine, if other utilities that we like to use are present. And again, if it's not there, it tells you that it's there or not there. And if it's not there, it installs it. And so now it's asking for the login to our repository, our online repository.
Okay.
It happens to be at quay.io. And so I'm giving my username and my password for my access. And so each...
And so one prerequisite is that a person would already need to have an account with quay.io to get
this. Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And it's asking for a network setting, Telus Mac VLAN, which I'm not deploying in this example here because I'm just doing a single instance of IQS. And so then it asks me if what product I want to install, and I'm type 1, which is the IQX console. And it's giving me questions for certain things like the name of the instance. I just typed in XYZ as a call letter. So no, I'm done with the script. That's it. It did everything. And now Linux machine is a certain IP address, which I happen to know. And I'm going to type that into the URL. And it's just a 101.49. And there it is. There's IQS. And first thing is to log into the IQS products. Let's create a source profile, which allows me to ingest audio from the network into the console. And my favorite generic Muzak source profile, I'm typing in Muzak, and I'm going to pick an audio source in my test environment here. And program one, or the monitor section of the AE1000, which we're also talking about. All the defaults are good. I'm going to also select configure an output.
Okay.
So I can hear the audio without any output, right? So in this case, I'm just going to enable the monitor output. I'm going to give it a live wire channel number, enable it, and hit apply. And now my monitor section of the IQS is in my network, and I can pull it up with my headphones or speakers. And here I'm on the user interface. I've pulled Muzak up. I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to assign it to program one.
Look at that.
Don't forget to turn the monitor on. That was the last bit. And now I can listen to Muzak as I read the rest of the online documentation and figure out how to make this product work.
Oh, my goodness. So what we just saw, folks, was not a complete tutorial on how to install IQS in a Docker environment, a software container environment. What we saw was that you can do it. If you have all the prerequisite information, you can do it quickly. There is some prerequisite information to do, including getting an account with quay.io, which is our repository for the software that you get it from. Okay. And then you just made a very simple console. After the software was installed and running, right? Now we're going to access it with an HTML with a browser. And you established one source, and you established one output. Obviously, you got to have one in, one out to see what you're doing. And then you browsed to the console, and there you had it.
Now, one thing we did not cover in that video was the licensing. It does require a license. And so without the license, what I received was a four-channel mixer, fully functional, except we have tones that are generated every, I forget the time period, say 30 seconds. But the license process, you would install the license server, get a lock request phase, send that to Telos. Telos will give you the key, and away you go.
So it looks like, honestly, if you have the prerequisite stuff available, you have a Linux machine ready to go, and you can go ahead and install the software, and you have your license ready, you went from start to finish there in, I think it was just under 4 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. Milos, thank you for the demonstration. Again, not a complete tutorial. We'll have other resources for the more complete tutorials, but I want to show folks that it can be done. You just installed an audio console.
In 4 minutes.
In 4 minutes. Who ever thought we'd be doing that? Milos Nemcik, product manager for Axia, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kirk.
All right, what'd you think of that? Milos used to be an engineer for Clear Channel and iHeart in San Luis Obispo, California, so he's got broadcast experience. So I should ask a poll question. What is your own level of expertise with containerized software? Like 6 months ago, mine was zero. Anybody have zero experience with containerized software? Okay. Does anybody have a little bit of experimentational experience with containerized software? Okay, good. And is anybody an absolute expert at containerized software? Yes, okay, I figured that hand would go up. Yep. Oh, yep, yeah, okay, there we go, yes. All righty, cool. Well, you guys can teach the rest of us then. I'm going to need you tonight during the nuts and bolts when Cam Eicher from Telos and I are going to install some containerized software before your very eyes. And we'll see how that goes. All right. Of course, containerized software, you know, can be deployed in different locations. On premises, which would be typical for a lot of us. In a private data center, which some radio stations have, or in a public cloud. This actually does work. We have it working in Amazon Web Services, AWS, and I believe, pretty sure we've tried it on Google as well, but and we have yet to try it in Microsoft Azure. These are the places that you'd want to deploy it. Remember earlier, when we had a drop-down, we looked at multicast or SIP unicast. Typically in a public cloud like Amazon, they don't have multicast, or they charge you a lot of money for that. And so, to keep expenses down, you want to use SIP unicast in instances like that. For the console itself, just a touchscreen optimized. We make a touchscreen optimized mixer GUI for your browser. Any desktop, PC, laptop, or even a phone can work with that with touchscreen or mouse. Again, it's available in the as an appliance, as a software container, same specs as the IQ series. All right, we're going to take a quick look now at something called VX, because I promised I want to show you more that you can do. VX is the world's first VoIP system for live production. It's designed for broadcasters, multi-line, multi-room, and now multi-facility with control and monitoring. And okay, we'll boast a minute here. I was involved with putting a VX system in at ABC News in New York, back when Diane Sawyer was the anchor there. And it was, of course, ABC's owned by Disney, so there was a lot of IT rigmarole to go through, because Disney's very locked down. We got it all installed, and the A1 audio guy for Diane Sawyer's ABC Evening News, he was pretty impressed. He even said, quote, he said, wow, even the dial tone sounds better. All right, so I'm going to show you. Oh, so with VX, we've got about 1,500 systems out there. Of course, 36 years of experience in telephony and 4 awards. So let me buzz through this. You have VX, we use software or hardware phones to control your workflow. One of our consoles has this built into it. And you can make panels with Pathfinder Core Pro. This panel would be a bit more for a TV station workflow where you have IFBs coming in. C-SPAN's been using it for years. This is ABC, Good Morning America. QVC and others like that are using it. There's even plenty of VX in the White House Communications Office. They call us, every new administration wants to add more Axia and VX stuff, so we've been in there about every 4 to 8 years or so putting new stuff in. Now, for TV stations, the current way of handling IFBs is typically with a whole lot of POTS lines and some auto-answer converters, like these from JK Audio or others. There's some rack-mount ones from JK and others. We've been to TV stations that have their IFB lines set up this way. This is kind of a mess, but this is how some people have been making it work. But we figured out a more modern way to help TV stations put callers, you know, phoners on the air, but also handle their IFB calls. I'm going to buzz through some of this because I want to get to the point where I'm showing you that we have a new, this is for some, yeah, for some IFBs. We have a new way of doing this. Of course, the Telos VX Enterprise is used by a lot of TV stations, but there's also now a software version of this. Just like I showed you with the IQS, there's now VXS, and yes, it runs in a software container. So you need the same expertise or the same experience installing a phone system in a software container as you did with the IQS. Because it's containerized software, same deal. You have your bare metal, your host operating system, the Docker runtime, and then various containers on top of that. The VXS is shown on the left. The next one says VIP. What's that? I'm going to show you that in a few minutes, but that is a virtualized intercom system that you can then use with hardware devices like belt packs or rack mount panels, or with your phone or other device that can bring up a browser. So there's a lot of cool things there. And then a couple of IQS consoles shown here as well. Remember I talked about the Type 1 hypervisor earlier. This is just a reminder of what's going on there. The Type 1 hypervisor would be VMware or Hyper-V, something like that, and then you run your guest OSs on top of that. So those are the two ways that you can deploy this in a data center. You can also deploy this in the cloud. So there's, you know, they call them compute instances in the cloud, and then you would put your host OS and your Docker there. Or if you've got some non-Docker software, as shown on the right there or in the middle, you would run it just on top of the host OS. Okay. Same thing on-premise data center or public cloud. When you install, okay, think back when you installed a phone hybrid in your studio. A lot, you know, you take this hybrid, maybe it's a one or a two-line hybrid, and you'd physically put it in, you'd physically hook a phone line to it, you'd physically hook your inputs, outputs on the back. A lot of how that thing worked was defined by the fact that it was right there in your studio. It had gazintas and gazoutas, you know, inputs and outputs right on it. And I never really thought about this until I realized all the stuff you have to define in software to get the equivalent of what was defined simply by dint of the fact that it existed in hardware and it was defined for you, right? So when you do something in software, you kind of have to tell the software, you've got lines coming in. Hey, software, you've got lines. Here's how many lines you have. Hey, software, you have outputs. Here's how many outputs I want you to have. And I want you to group the lines together into a hunt group. Or I want you to put these lines on a hot line or a warm line or whatever. So there are things that we, it looks like, hey, what are these extra steps in software you have to define? Well, guess what? You used to define them because you had no choice. The hardware was built that way, and that's how it worked. So anyway, when you do a software VX system, you got to make a few decisions as to how it's going to lay out. When you install VXS, the software version of VX, it's really the similar process to what Milo showed us before. You do need a demo license, but you get your demo license and look at the documentation online. You run the setup script, just like Milo did for the IQS software earlier. And in fact, the setup script is you copy and paste it from the instructions that are online, and you can see it going through here and grabbing the different packages online. And there you go. This is Sean Dolan who was doing this particular setup. And then you install the VXS container itself. You choose it from that little list. Actually, that list is the same as what Milo chose from. You can choose the IQS, but in this case, we're choosing Telos VX. And activate your demo license, and then you can start playing with it right here. There's where you put the license information in, and there you go. You define a few things, and voila. So the things, I realize I buzzed that pretty quickly, but I just want you to see that, yes, you can have traditional hardware broadcast products and functionalities, and you can do them in a software environment. So virtualization lets us adapt. We can have centralization if we want to. There's some major broadcasters who are putting VXS into data centers and letting radio stations across a whole area do their morning shows, their afternoon shows, their talk shows, their contesting, all from a cloud-based talk show system. Now, yeah, I know we've had hosted PBXs. I get that. Those have been available dime a dozen for a long time now, or for several years anyway. This gives you the broadcast quality audio, or at least as good as audio can be from a phone system. Oh, but speaking of quality, you know, VXS also speaks G.722. So that's at least a higher quality codec if you have control over who's calling in. Maybe you have employees with a soft phone. They can have a G722 phone client on their phone and call in with remote broadcasts and have 7.5 kilohertz of audio quality instead of the typical 3 kilohertz. And it's delivered as a Docker-compatible container. You can deploy it on-prem, data center, or in the cloud. And now let's look at that VIP, that intercom system that I spoke of just a minute ago. Let's see. If you've heard of the Infinity intercom system, maybe you've heard that we broke the matrix. You know, most every intercom on the market has this big box that is a matrix. and you have to put a whole nother level of wiring on top of all your wiring in your station to all go to the matrix from the various panels and so forth. Well, the VIP system, or excuse me, the Infinity system doesn't have a matrix. It's all distributed intelligence to the various IP things. And this is just what the hardware system lays out as. You've got belt packs and panels. The silver box there is a multi-channel codec, so you can have multi-sites across the public internet and have people participating that way from multiple sites. And so a typical system will lay out like this. You just wire to an Ethernet switch and use the dashboard software to set everything up by drag and drop your sources onto keys on the intercom, and away you go. Coming from radio, you know, not many radio stations use an intercom system. I got to go visit WGN Radio in Chicago, and they have quite the nice Telos Infinity intercom system, and they use it a lot. They have a lot of talk shows and a lot of outside broadcasts, so they use intercom a whole lot there. So that was an interesting setup to see that going on in radio. This link device gives you a lot of Opus codecs to go over the public internet to other sites that may need to participate with your intercom setup. Okay, and you can also go over a wide area network or public internet for that. You can have people at home producing shows and so forth. But what I really want you to see here is this virtual intercom platform, the VIP. So Infinity VIP is a cloud-based platform. It delivers a soft version of the Infinity IP intercom to any HTML5 device with onboard audio. You get virtual panels running on a cloud server, and you access them with your HTML5 device. I've actually done this on my phone, talked back and forth to my colleague in England, and it just worked amazingly well. Obviously there was delay, but in use you didn't really notice the delay. And since there's no software to install on the phone because you're using your browser, whoever's setting it up sends you an email invite. You click the link, and voila, your browser opens up, and then you have the panel. So there's authentication, licensing, server management, uptime metrics, and all that kind of stuff. I've accessed it on all these different types of devices, a tablet, a phone, inside a HTML window on a browser. And I wasn't able to get a picture for you now, but maybe some of you might be familiar with a product from Grass Valley called AMP. Agile Mobile Production Platform? Is that what it calls it? Anyway, it gives you a whole television production facility. Software as a service, you pay for it by the hour or by the minute, and you can do all your video, all your audio, and now you can do your intercom within the Grass Valley environment. And you can that's a little extra cost add-on, and you can have intercom everywhere. That's not the Grass Valley screen, but it would be very much, it's very much like that. That's how you send out invitations to people who want to join you on the intercom from their phone or computer or tablet. I'm going to buzz through these. There's way too much to explain here, but you can have an intercom system that's very flexible and can be set up all over the place. It's going to be used for some of the upcoming Formula One races. There's companies that are using this on a wide area basis for sports, certainly for political coverage and for breaking news coverage. It just makes it really easy to connect all these things together. The key thing here, of course, is connecting people together, people who've got to talk to each other to coordinate television and, if you want, radio productions. So there you go. And here's the announcement. Grass Valley and Telos partner to bring integrated intercom into cloud production. All right. That's what it looks like right there. That's actually not an AMP screen, but it's close. And so with AMP, you would have multiple instances. You can have people working from their homes, obviously, switching video, and there you go. Now, we have had for years people screening talk shows from home. And if you had intercom added to that, now you can get quick, better connectivity between producers and hosts and talent on the air and the control room operator. So there you go. That's a little look at virtualizing the things that we've done in hardware for years. We got a minute or two left over. If you have a question, I'd love to try to answer it. We do have, Cam and I will be doing the nuts and bolts tonight. We'll have a lot more time to install the software. We've got a whole table full of gear back here. We're going to pull it on out and show you it working, but also we're going to install an IQ console. I've got a server with one console on it now. We're going to add some more consoles to it. And I've also got a little off-lease Dell desktop, I mean, literally a $125 computer I got from Walmart.com as a used Dell desktop. And I installed Ubuntu Linux on it. I installed, like Milo showed you, I installed the IQS console on it. And it's an audio console, and it's sitting there running, and it's just fine. You just use a browser to browse into it. Of course, you have to pay for the license if you actually want to use it. Without the tones and other crap on it, you wouldn't want on the air, but it actually works. All right, who's got a question? Did I explain everything okay? Is that a question?
Check one, there we go.
Thanks.
Hi, Kirk. We got a text question asking, does the IQ console support multi-touch? As in changing two faders at the same time.
Does the IQ console support multi-touch? And yes, it does, as long as your touchscreen does as well. I want to say that it can support 10 touches at the same time, but I could be wrong about that. But yes, you can turn things off and on and say, so yeah, every finger you have can be doing something if you're that talented. I'm not. I guess as a disc jockey, I could regulate my mic and the record at the same time. Does that bring up any more? You know, one thing I showed was getting to the surface screen by going through the setup screen. And we don't need disc jockeys going to the setup screen. So there's a link that goes directly to the surface. And you can password protect that link if you want to. So you can on a desktop, you could put, you know, links to radio station A, radio station B, radio station C, and have the disc jockey, you know, double click on that link and pop it up. That's scary. Any more questions? Wow. Well, then you may not need to come back to Nuts and Bolts tonight. Yeah, you will. We're gonna have a good time and show all this. In fact, I don't know how many we can handle at once. Supposedly, as they say, the IQS software will allow 10 people to browse into it at the same time. Now, I've browsed in with 4 different computers. I've browsed in with 8 different browsers at the same time, and I didn't try to control all 8 at the same time. I don't have that many arms, but I don't have that many I do have that many grandchildren. I'm going to have to try that out. Hey, kids, come on down to Dad's workshop. We're all going to get on a touchscreen. But we're going to have Wi-Fi available that you can attach to the Wi-Fi, and you can play with the console from where you sit. That's going to be a cacophony of mess, isn't it? All right, are we good? No more hands? All right. I'm done.